What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back, man. Round two at Urban Roots, Sacramento Kings training camp takeover day two. Stack is taking it easy on the stack of kittens. Last time we did this shit with Jay Will, he almost couldn't talk, but
they
we're
missed
here.
They missed what you just said.
What's that? Stack? Oh, yeah, the beer's named
look
after
at the
him
bottom.
Now.
You say stack of kittens. Stack Shout of out kittens. To my boy, yeah. Rob. You know what I'm saying?
It's Rob Langston. But again, man, thank you, Urban Roots. Thank you, Sacramento, for coming out. We're excited. You know, me being a hometown guy, I always want to try to bring events and experiences back to Sacramento. We brought Jason Williams back during the playoffs. We got Mike here to start the season. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back here before the playoffs again with a special guest. So thank you guys for coming out tonight. We appreciate you. Yeah. Yeah. You go ahead and give yourself an applause. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Man, well, let's get started, man. This is a good friend of both of ours. We go back. Mike and I played together. Stack and Mike kind of grew up together so that we know this is going to be a good one, a fun one. Mike's not someone that talks much, but he's going to talk to us today. Mike is a little shy. He want to act shy, but today we're going to get it up out of him. Welcome to the show today, Mike Bibby.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Mike, long career, but particularly the Sacramento run, to me, was one of your greatest runs as a professional athlete. You hit game winners. You helped lead this team to the Western Conference Finals. What does it mean for you to be back in Sac?
It's always special coming back here. You know, I have family, friends I've had here for over 25 years. Good to show that everybody shows me love every time I come here, and it's just good to be back.
Yeah. So what are you up to these days? I know your son is playing hoop. You're in a little bit of coaching. What's Mike Bibby's day to day like these days? Besides in the gym, because I can tell you've been in that motherfucker, boy.
I just joined Matt, so I'll be with Matt on NBC Sports Bay Area this year.
Oh, that was a secret. So, yeah, Mike is going to be calling Kings games. I wasn't supposed to say that, but he said it, so. Yeah.
So I'm joining Matt there, but, you know, I'm still, you know, my son's trying to get in the G League. You know, so I got three girls still trying to bring them up the right way. And, you know, I'm just trying to get him playing and, you know, trying to see if this could propel me in the coaching coaching situation too. So
you spoke to your family, obviously, very family oriented. You got your brother Dane. We're gonna call Dane up later in the show so he can share his hair care secrets. But how important is family to you? I mean, I know how important your mom is, but your brother, you have such a great support system. And how important was that to you in your not only as a developing as a man, but your basketball journey as well?
It was great for me. You know, I mean, I still carry that with me. I got a block where my whole family lives on.
That means he's rich. He bought a whole area in Arizona where his whole family lives.
It's a little cul-de-sac, but gated it all. You know, my family's always came with me everywhere I went, and it's just being comfortable. I like to be comfortable, and you know, with them around, you know, I mean, it's easier for me. Mm-hmm. I can be myself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know our relationship. Well, we've been knowing each other for 30 plus years, probably maybe a little long, 25, something like that. But I'm glad I can start this, started off talking about our relationship. So I had been through a situation where I was supposed to get into Arizona where Mike went. We came out of high school. We had the number one recruiting class that year.
Yeah.
And we had knew each other from playing high school and AAU and all that type of stuff. But McDonald's game and right around that time, we had became real close, and I was supposed to go to Arizona, so I couldn't pass the test. I didn't take the test half the time. I didn't even go, just to be honest.
Hold on, because let's be real this show today. So you and Dane was telling us how they were setting the test up for you, and you were supposed to take the test, and they had a special testing situation for you. And how come you didn't make the test, Steve?
Yeah, well, one, thank you, Dane. We probably was out to 4 or 5 in the morning. The test was at 8. It's been, and that wasn't just one time. It's been times where I've seen Mike and I'm going up to him. He's like, how was the test? And I'm like,
I'm going to tell you the story.
Tell him the story, Mike.
So, I mean, you get 4 chances to take it. He's on his 4th chance. He failed the first 3. So, you know, I'm giving him, you know, kind of a pet rally. Come on, Steve, you got to make it. It's your last chance. You got it. It's nothing. I called him in the afternoon. I said, what happened? He said, I didn't wake up. And that was his last, it was his last chance to go. So he didn't get a chance. We didn't get a chance to play
but each other in college. The funny one is though, they had it set up for me to take the test. And the guy that was administering the test was my first time taking the test in a home, actually in the house. You normally take it like in the library or at school. So it was set up for me to take the test. So, you know, I get the test, you know. I'm excited because I know I got this right. This is my name. I know how to spell this. I got this. Okay. Got one. All right. Then I open the test, and, you know, first question, I'm lost. So, you know, I do what everybody else do. I abacadabra my way all the way through there. You know what I'm saying? And I take the test. I slide it to him, you know, definitely not feeling confident. You know what I'm saying? I just slid it to him because I knew I failed. And he says to me, he's like, yeah, man, how did you do? I'm surprised you didn't have any questions. You mean to tell me I was supposed to ask him if I would have known that, I probably would have had a national championship at Arizona because I would have asked him every question and got every one of them right. But so long story short, I ended up not being able to play. And where I'm from, I stayed in a lot of trouble in my hometown. And his mom seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. She did not allow me to go back to my hometown. She made me stay with his brother. And they took me working out. They had me working out and doing all these things. And she woke me up one morning and took me to the Phoenix Suns practice facility. I had no idea why I was going there. I ended up trying out for the Phoenix Suns and ended up getting drafted because of his mom. So that's the relationship that we have. Also, I got to tell this story too. His mom don't like me telling this story, but I got to tell this one too, since I'm telling my story. Everybody know about the story about me calling my wedding off because the prenup wasn't signed. Well, I was hurt about it, and I was crying, and I just had snot, all kind of stuff coming out of my face.
I'm sure that nose produced a lot of snot, too.
It was. I probably needed a beach towel.
Yeah.
Okay? Facts. And his mom came in the room, wiped my snot and my tears away with her bare hands, and told me I became a man today. And I never forget that. And I love her to death. So
yeah, shout out to mom.
Shout out to Mama Bibby. But let's talk about, you know, I was on campus the first semester of you being in Arizona.
You wasn't in school, though. You was just chilling?
I was working out. Parlaying.
Arizona, yeah. I tell people, I didn't take no trips because I played sports year-round. But if I would have took the trip to Arizona, I probably would have went to Arizona instead of UCLA. So I know you was out there popping.
And I'm with Mike Bibby, too.
Yeah, him.
we were working out. While I was in class, he was at home, you know, working out and doing what Steve does. So.
Steve
yes, indeed. Yeah. Talk about, though, that not only Shadow Mountain, because we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but being a star in high school, like people don't know the star you was in high school and the numbers you were putting up in high school. You know, I've seen plenty of games where you play against guys like Shea Cotton, and a lot of these guys were talked about more than you, but you were in the game with 40 points. Talk about, you know, being that big in high school and still being able to succeed and make it to the top in the NBA.
It was tough because back then, no players really ever came out of Arizona. There wasn't that many. You know, they always went to either New York, Texas, or California. And just to put Arizona on the map, I think I kind of did, because after that, we have a lot of All-Americans after that, as far as like Jared Bayless, Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye. When you go down the line, but it's just, I love the game. You know, I've been around my whole life, and, you know, I mean, I never really thought of like, once college just started looking at me, I got my first letter. I'm like, damn, somebody, like, I'm getting recruited. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's just a good feeling. And just to come from Arizona, like I said, like, they always tried, you know, back then they tried to give the number one point guard to Shaheen Holloway.
Yeah.
Because he was from New York, but they can never give it to him because I kept making my stock rise. So it was just a great feeling just to, you know, I think kind of put Arizona on the map. And just, you know, play with guys like you. I think we have probably one of the best classes, you know, in McDonald's game history.
Yes, sir.
So
name some of them people in that class, just so people know.
Kobe Bryant,
Tim Thomas,
O'Neal, Tim Thomas, Steve,
Richard Hamilton,
Richard Hamilton, Mateen Cleaves. I mean, you could go all the way down the line. It's like, I mean, it was crazy. But I mean, it was fun. They beat the shit out of us too. So I mean, I remember they started the game. I was like, this ain't gonna be fair.
Who was on your team?
I think I might have been Corey Benjamin.
That the only two pros y'all had.
Yeah, that's it. They had, like, their whole starting five came out of high school.
Me, Kobe,
Jermaine O'Neal,
Tim Thomas, Richard Hamilton, Shaheen Holloway, and Lauren Woods.
Yeah.
Lauren Woods.
Yep.
Yeah, Lauren Woods.
It might be
Gotta stand a chance, huh?
I could, yeah. When they started the game off with a dunk, I was like, oh, shit.
It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, but I mean, it was fun. You know, I'm just a be around these guys. Like I said, I met Steve probably when we were in high school. I remember us hanging out in Las Vegas tournament.
Yes.
And our high school beat Oak Hill.
Yes,
if you believe it or not.
They did. Beat the shit out of us.
But that's the first time we like really met and hung out. And, you know, when he said he was coming to Arizona, I was like, we're going to do big things over there. Yeah. So if I couldn't pass the test. So, we never got a chance to see that, though. But it was fun, though. I mean, it was fun. You know, you make relationships. Like, with the same thing with Matt. Like, we played here. I didn't really know Matt before, I mean, playing here, but we played here, became really good friends. And you know, it was just fun. You make longtime friends, and they become family. So
talk about Lute Olson, being recruited by the great Lute Olson, and them pancakes that his wife used to make.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a fictional character. Like if you really don't know him, like he was the biggest man in Tucson, Arizona. You know, his hair was never messed up, no matter what. Can never tell what kind of day he had. It was just, I mean, I think he's probably one of the greatest coaches of all time. I mean, just the way that he coached us and let us play. And, you know, you get a lot of coaches today that try to restrict kids and what they can and cannot do. And he just let us play. And I think that kind of blossomed in the tournament, what kind of helped me. I had an okay freshman season. And then when it got to the tournament, he told me, put me in the room, like, Mike, I need you to be you. And I think that's what, okay, he's going to let me do what I do. And that's when I kind of took off.
Talk about why does Arizona guards have so much success? You, Jason Terry, Gilbert Arenas, Miles Simon, Iggy, Damon Stoudemire, many guys.
Lute Olson is that reason.
Give out that green light.
And he just let you play. I mean, he recruited you for a reason. You know, not like some coaches recruit you but you can't do the same thing you were doing when you were playing there. Mm-hmm. You know, he let us, he recruited us for that reason. Mm-hmm.
As a freshman, of course, y'all won the championship. After the championship, what is your thoughts? I mean, I was there, so I know. What were you thinking?
Well, hold on. But on the road to the championship, again, Mike's team was like subpar, right?
Yeah, we were 500.
Maybe 500.
Yeah, they needed me.
It wasn't no secret
they needed me.
Yeah.
They needed me.
The Pac-10 was heavy back then. I mean, they beat Paul Pierce in Kansas. They beat North Carolina with Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson. They beat Kentucky with Ron Mercer and Derrick Ann. Like, it wasn't no cakewalk. Mike's team, every round was the underdog. And once that light came on and Mike started being himself and putting the ball in the basket, this team went on a run. So what was that experience like?
It was crazy. Like I said, we were 500 in the Pac-10. We were hoping to get in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're watching the thing, like, so hopefully we get in. And they gave us the number 4 seed. We almost lost the first 2 games to College of Charleston and South Alabama. So we were down like half, like, mm-hmm. towards the end, going half. But then I think after that game, we had nothing to lose. Like, no one really expected us to win mm-hmm. after that. And so I think we just went in, played like how we were supposed to play, and things fell into place.
Mm-hmm. So you win a national championship. You go back for your sophomore year, right?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was good. I got Pac-10 Player of the Year. People wanted me to leave after my freshman year, but I wasn't ready.
Oh, okay.
Mentally or physically, I wasn't ready. And, you know, I thought one more year would help me. And then the year that I had, I knew I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And it was time.
So you end up being the number 2 selection by the Vancouver Grizzlies in the 1998 draft, the lockout year. Very deep draft class, though. Vince Carter, Dirk Nowitzki, Paul Pierce, to name a few. Any good pre-draft stories going up against anyone, or who was going to pick you? Or did you actually really tell Vancouver, don't pick me? Like, there's a lot of rumors going on out there about how the draft process went down for you.
It went it was in Vancouver. It was the first year it was in Vancouver. It was supposed to go, it was between me and Oliver Candy, who was gonna go number 1. I only worked out for the Clippers.
So that was the only team you worked out for?
I worked out by myself, shot, ran a little bit. It was about like a 30-minute hour workout. They gave me a bag like with all Clippers stuff. So I'm thinking like the Clippers gonna pick me. I had a pretty good workout. So we get to the draft, and My agent, David Falk, one of the best to do it. He's, you know, going back and forth. We don't know. They don't know who they're going to pick yet. They're not going to pick yet. So the day of the draft, I'm sitting at the table, and he comes down and says, they're going to take Oliver Candy. Vancouver's going to take you. You know, I'm 19 years old, and I don't really want to be out of the country. So I go upstairs. I talk to the general manager and the head coach, and I tell him, I remember this day like it was yesterday. I'm sitting there with my mom. I'm looking out the window, it's raining, it's gloomy. I'm just like, I just told him, I said, I don't want to play here.
Mm.
And they were like, we're going to pick you anyway. So, you know what I mean? But it was something, I think, that everything happens for a reason, I think. And to get traded there, we had an owner named Michael Heisley, rest in peace. And he gave me the top 5 places I want to go, because they're going to move the team to Memphis and give them top 5 places. You know, I named here, I named Phoenix, I named a few other places. And he said, well, where's the number 1 place you want to go? And I said, Sacramento.
Mm.
And yeah. I mean, there was nothing said. I mean, he didn't say anything to me after that. I remember I was in the gym working out. It was like 1 in the morning at home. And I got calls from people from here. And they're like,
so this is after what, your second year?
Third year.
After you said 3 years in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so my brother gets a call. My brother's worldwide, so he gets a call.
Worldwide, like, dang.
He gets a call. He's like, you just got traded to the Kings. I was like, bullshit. Somebody would have called me. So I go out to my phone. I got a Vancouver number. That's all that happens. You got a call from Vancouver. You get a call from Sacramento. And I was like, shit, it happened. And I mean, I think it was the best day of my life.
But I mean, this. Let's take a step back, because you know, obviously, small town Sacramento, this is not normally a free agent destination. Guys don't really say, I want to go to Sacramento. You know, they just don't. I mean, as much as I love it. But what drew you to Sac? Obviously, there was some talent here. But what drew you to Sac when you would put them number 1 on your list?
This excitement. You know, I give a shout out to Jay Will. I saw Jay Will on here. I give him a shout out. You know, I didn't know how it was going to be coming in and replacing him. I didn't know how the fans would take me or nothing like that. And they made, like, the team was crazy. I came in. They act like I've been here for 10 years. It was mm-hmm. just easy to fit in. And that's what, and the fans made it easy, and it just was comfortable for me. But I remember coming, what made me want to come to Sacramento is the excitement that the fans and all that. But I remember we're in the Vancouver Grizzlies. No one comes to watch us play. So I remember it's the last game of the season, and we play here. And I'm looking around like, fuck, it's sold out. Like, how's we never playing sold out games. You know, like you watch our film, and it's like 3,000 people in there. You know what I mean? And I'm in there like, I would love to play in an environment like this every night.
That's dope.
And I mean, that was the main thing. I want to go to Sacramento.
So the interesting thing about this is obviously we had Jay Will on the first live show here, and he said something you normally don't hear athletes say. And he said something, I'm paraphrasing, but something to the Sacramento made the right decision trading me for Mike Bibby, because when they traded for Mike, they got better. So what does that mean to you? Like you said, you're kind of worried about how am I going to fill these shoes or how are they going to take me? And the guy, you know, 20 years later, 20 plus years later, the guy you're traded for, like said, hey, the team made the right move because you made that team better.
I love Jay Will, man. We played in the TBT. The first year the TBT came out, we ended up playing on the same team. But like I said, I give him a shout out to, I think he brought a lot of excitement here to start the thing anyway. And like I said, I'm not that exciting player. I play very old school and try to get the job done. And like I said, I know how I fit. But shout out Jay Will, making the team excitement, making the place for people wanting to be.
So you were one of the OG members of Team Jordan. Take you back to 1998. You were handpicked by Michael Jordan. When I tell you this motherfucker outside of MJ has the most Jordans, maybe Carmelo, maybe, but Mike has pretty much a house full of Jordans. But tell me how that experience happened, how you became a Jordan member, and how you still be getting Jordans to this day.
It was, so I come in the draft, like that year, everything was down, like the shoe contracts were down, everything was down. So it wasn't a lot of money. It was between, well, Puma and Nike kind of, you know, the two main people. Puma was going to give me the most money. And they sent me a box in the, I'm a size 12 and a half. The shoe was like that long. I said, I can't wear these. And it was like all fluorescent color and stuff back then. You know, fluorescence in now.
That wasn't in, because back in the day, it was you had to wear your team color pretty much, especially in the NBA.
And it was in soccer. Puma was mostly soccer back then. And so after that, I told my agent, I said, I can't wear Puma. Can't. And then
that shit hot, bro. That shit is fresh, bro. That shit hot. God damn.
Oh, shit. I forgot what I was saying. The Puma. Okay. Then so my agent was David Falk. So he had Michael Jordan too. So
but also, not to cut you off, he had Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, like, this is a big time agent. Guys. So he, I was kind of, me and Elton Brown were his last two people he had. So he was like, well, would you want to go with Jordan? Would you want to wear Jordan? I said, fucking right. He's like, okay. So he called and made, you know, they got a contract right then. It's been like that ever since.
But you got like, some guys get like the Team Jordan shit. And I'm not with all due respect, MJ, if you end up hearing this, I'm not a fan of those. But you had like.
No one is.
You had like the. You were one of the athletes, though, that got to remake and recolor scheme like the Jordans that everybody loves.
But you know what happened? It was at that time, they were doing that. There wasn't that many of us. So they were able to get all the retros and do all that stuff for people. So now that he has so many people now,
right,
it'd be hard to put everybody in retros. And like you said, the retros sell on its own. They don't need us to market the retros in order to sell. So they'll put us in those other shoes to market those for other people to see us playing them and for them to like to play in it. So
I'm glad you got the retros. So you try to get stacked in Arizona. Thanks to Dane, that didn't work.
Appreciate it.
So we got another story, though. So you try to get Mike to Vancouver, or you try to get Stack to Vancouver with you. So you're in the mix. Stack, you got drafted second round. It didn't work. You went and did some overseas stuff?
Yeah, I did. Won championships there, too.
Okay. You might have some kids over there.
Couple kids, probably.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I'll meet them one day.
So from there, again, Mike being the guy he was, Mike tried to get Stack in Vancouver. And tell these, because this is the first time we were chilling yesterday and I was hearing these stories. I'm just like, Rut, so tell the story how you got him to three different training camps.
You look at how many years you played, Steve? 15?
14.
14, so you played 14 years. So like,
I should have played 18.
Yeah, we're a losing franchise. You know, my second year, I get Steve in a tryout for the team. I mean, it's very political. This whole basketball stuff's political. And I mean, I can't remember how the first one kind of went, but they cut him. So he comes back the next year, get him again.
This is Vancouver now.
Vancouver.
They didn't have much, so they shouldn't have been cutting the real one.
Won about 40 some games in 3 years in Vancouver. So
do the math.
Yeah, one game out of 50 seasons. So so I mean, I get him there for the third year. I mean, he's killing defensively, offensively. He's talking shit. He's being gangster out there and all type of shit. Something I'm trying
that's
to tell myself.
That's where he went wrong. But go ahead.
But you know what I mean? But that's just Steve. Yeah, they're talking shit.
That's where it always go wrong.
He busting ass talking shit. And the last cut comes. And I'm telling myself, I said, there's no way they cut you this time. There can't be. There's no way. Just how much work you out there. And he comes back in. And remember, we were in the locker room. You walk in. He's like, they cut me. I said, you're lying. And he said, they cut me. And so I don't know. You did some other stuff after that. But he ended up playing 14 years, winning championships, averaging whatever, and you get cut by a team that wins 40 games in 3 years. You know what I mean? So I don't know if they weren't trying to win or what, but I don't know. But it was just good. I mean, people will do that. People bring in people to give them chances.
Yeah.
And I thought Steve had a real good chance of making it. It was just, it didn't work out. But like I said, everything happens for a reason. It made him even hungrier. And I think it went on to build him how he is today.
I want to rewind a little bit, because I learned the story yesterday, and I think you guys leaving out some key elements. So there was one year where Stack and Dane went out and they were having a good time, and Mike wasn't involved. Keep Mike's name out of this.
Mike wasn't involved.
So they're out about. Mike might have been involved. But Jack, tell us what happened that one evening in Vancouver, British Columbia.
I mean, we were just minding our business like we normally do. Just minding our business. You know, we had a couple beverages. You know, everybody had a couple beverages, but somebody that was out there had more beverages than everybody else in the world that night, right? And he said some things to Big Bro that he shouldn't have said.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, Dane is a very understanding guy. Very mild mannered guy.
Nice hair.
We're not even bring up his background. Yeah. Okay? He's a nice guy, all right? Just look at his hairline. Yeah. His hair will tell you he's a nice guy, right?
Yeah. He's holding strong.
Yeah, but even nice guys have, you know, get to their limit.
Yes.
And you know, he just gave him a high five to the face. You know? It wasn't really a slap. It was just like a high five to the face. You know what I mean?
And what'd you do? Did you catch the guy? Did you help him up? What'd you do?
I didn't know his reaction. I know he's going to get up and swing. So the closest thing to him was my foot. So my leg just got to jumping and kicking. I don't know how it happened. I was trying to grab my leg, but it just started kicking it. And it ended up into a
This is all why you were trying to make the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's probably why I got cut. Okay.
So thanks, that's Dane. The real reason.
Thanks, Dane, again.
Because he was hooping, but some off-the-court shit caught up to him.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
I've never heard that, you know, you made Sacramento a destination. So you end up getting traded here. You and Brent Price were traded for Jason Williams and Nick Anderson.
Brent Price and
Mark's brother. Yeah, Mark's brother. Was traded for Jason. Jay Will and Nick Anderson.
I wasn't the only one. Everybody wouldn't say that shit.
Two parts of the trade. What was your first reaction coming here? Obviously, you've seen the season before. The love, the fans, the energy in Sacramento to me is second to none. You get traded here. First of all, what was your reaction? And then who were some of your vets that you kind of leaned on? Because you're coming into your fourth year.
Yeah, my fourth year.
So, yeah, talk to us about
that. I was surprised. You know what I mean? I was in disbelief. I couldn't believe it happened. But my thing was where I was playing, you know, back then they played inside out. So you're throwing the post, go stand over here, and they hopefully the ball will come back out to you. So I remember first day of practice, I passed it, cut through, and I ducked. And the ball almost hit me in the head. And I'm used to passing and going, cut through and just go to the other side. And the ball hit me. So Coach Carrillo.
Rest in peace. Yes, great. Princeton coach.
He was like, be right. Be careful. You go through, it's going to hit you. It hit you in the face. I said, I see that shit now. But it was just something that I wasn't used to. Mm-hmm. You know, I came here and got to play basketball again. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just throwing the post, let the two stars go to work. And if they get in trouble, be the third, fourth option, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just coming here was just, it was life-changing for me.
Yeah.
You know?
You guys arguably had, not to cut you off, probably the best Sacramento teams to date. You know, obviously these young teams are trying to make a name for themselves and, you know, what Mike Brown is building over here. But your guys' teams in the early 2000s were the shit. So name some of the guys you had on that team and what kind of fun, because obviously you guys were very entertaining, ball movement forward, making plays, you know, everybody is out here shooting and doing things and to more to your style. But what kind of chemistry did that team have? Because that's what I felt. So I was at UCLA during this time, you know, lifelong Laker fan, but then moving to Sacramento at 9 years old, like you kind of get accustomed to, you know, the team. So I'm a big Laker or I'm a big Kings fan in college. So I'm out here trying to represent the Kings at UCLA, almost getting a couple real fights because motherfuckers is talking, fuck Sacramento, fuck you, fuck Sacramento, fuck. Oh, well, let's do this then. You know what I mean? So I'm out here fighting for these motherfuckers while I'm in college. But what kind of chemistry did you guys develop? One on the court, but second off the court, because I know Webb is one of your lifelong homies. Mm-hmm. You guys had Peja, Vladdy, Doug, Black Bobby, you know, Coach Rick Adelman. Like, you guys had a squad.
It was good. I mean, the crazy thing is, all those guys that were coming off the bench, eventually went somewhere and started stars. Yeah.
Young Hedo.
Yeah. So Gerald Wallace, Bobby, yep. All this stuff. So they used to beat us a lot in practice.
The second team. See, yeah. We tell people all the time, like, you guys were starters. I was a starter and coming off the bench. So the second team in back in the day in NBA practices, like, it wasn't no like it is today. Come in, get some shots, walk through shit and get out of here. Like, we used to go to war with the first teams. And a lot of these teams that were really good, you asked some of the players, like, the second teams were nice too. That's what made the team so good.
Let me throw that out there. I used to bust their ass.
Who?
Them.
Sacramento?
T-H-E-M. Them. Used to bust their ass. Let me throw that out there. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying how good the second team and how competitive those early 2000 teams were.
But the biggest thing was off the court, like you said. And I think Vladdy was a ringleader of that. There was never.
Hold on. Is it true that Vladdy smoked cigarettes at halftime in the locker room?
I seen him before.
was it Cools or Newports?
I don't know what it was.
Menthols.
So the bathroom stall is this high. His head is over right. The top. So I go and use the bathroom. He's in there like, I said, Vlad, you smoking a fucking cigarette? And I mean, he just got it done real quick and just threw it out and went to warm ups.
Right.
But Vladdy was like kind of like the ringleader of everything, made sure everything was cool, calm. Of course, Webb was the leader of the team, but off the court, Vladdy, you never seen his demeanor change, whether he scored 2 points or he scored 30 points. You always get the same Vladdy no matter what. And I kind of looked up to that. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got traded to Atlanta, I kind of took that role. Vladdy's role in going into Atlanta. I didn't even want to go to Atlanta because I was supposed to go to Cleveland. I was supposed to get traded to Cleveland that year or the year before too. And I ended up going to Atlanta. You know, a lot of young guys. They're a real good team, but young.
Right.
And I was like, damn, where am I going to fit in on this team? And that's where I kind of fit in at, taking Vladdy's role.
Well, hold on. We're going to back up a little bit and get into some of this kingship before you just try to send yourself to Atlanta. year one, 61 games, the number one seed in the West. You're cooking in the playoffs. Round one, you guys beat Utah and John Stockton. Round two, you guys beat Steve Nash and Dirk. What are some of the best memories? Because you cooked all playoffs, but particularly, I mean, obviously Hall of Famer and John Stockton, Hall of Famer and Steve Nash. What do you remember most about those first two rounds matching up against those legendary point guards where you were the better point guard in both matchups?
I was nervous as fuck. I was nervous. Like coming in, that was the first time I ever been to the playoffs.
Is that why you used to bite your nails and shit? Was that nervous?
I didn't bite my nails. I was
cutting them. Oh, you were cutting them.
I
used to see you stuff like on SportsCenter cutting nails during the game. I'm like, what is this guy doing?
It's just when I start to pick and stuff when I get, you know what I mean? So I think playing Stockton in the first round, my first ever playoff, got me ready for the rest of the time. And when I first came here, my agent told me, like, they already established. I don't need you to go in there and try to score 20. I don't need you to try to go and do this. Fit in. Mm-hmm. And that's why I came and fit in. You see, I was just trying to fit in and play off these guys. And like I said, we're playing off the big men now instead of, you know, me making all the plays. So it was just, I think, playing Stockton and being, you know, in our type of environment got me ready for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. 2002 Western Conference Finals, arguably one of the most memorable finals in league history. You guys are up 3-2. Win game five. You hit the game winner in game five?
I think it put us up one, maybe.
But they ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
Walk us through that play.
I remember going out and I just told Webb, the play was for Webb to see, you know, met Webb to make a play. And I told Webb, I said, Webb, if you don't shoot it, I'm gonna knock it down. You give it to me. And I just told him, I said, I'll knock it down if you give me the ball.
So you came off the baseline, came off a pick.
Yeah, he said I threw it to him. He popped out, threw it to him, came off a handoff. And, you know, I shoot that shot
all day,
a million times.
In your sleep.
Yeah, so I knew, like, I expected to make it. I put the work in that when I miss,
that's the
what
problem.
The fuck am I missing for?
Right, because I work.
You know what I mean? And I mean, that's what my mind said. I have a strong mind. And my mindset was, I put enough work in that I'm going to knock these shots down.
So it starts getting a little fuzzy. game six, where talk to us about game six. One ref that was in this series was arrested, by the way, for cheating. And this was a game that they definitely got cheated. But talk to us about the game.
Also, was a ref in our series in Golden State.
Yes. You got kicked out that, didn't you?
We ain't gonna talk about that right now.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember the night before, you know, I was in LA talking Man, that shit.
And you're not really a big shit talker, but I kind of find out, like, I used to watch, like, when you played the Lakers, you had a little different swagger about you when you played the Lakers.
They made me like that. I didn't want to be like that. You know, you go to L.A., they talk shit to you when you're walking down the court, you stand there, mind your business, and they get you started. Mm-hmm. You know, they poke a sleeping bear. I'm just out there doing my job, and they kind of wake me up. I like playing there, you know what I mean? But the night before the game, we had a guy named Chucky Brown, you know, a 14-year vet, and he was like, I said, this shit, I'm talking shit. I'm on the red carpet at the movie things. It's over. Radio stations. And, you know, he tells me, Mike, be careful because it's not what it seems. I'm like, bullshit. We good. Ain't no way. And so, I mean, obviously, you've seen what happened in the game. but, I mean, we were definitely the better team that year. I know that for sure. But I still can't watch the tip out and shot. Like, I watch the highlights of it, but when it comes to that, I turn it off.
I mean, with all due respect to those Laker teams, because they were great. I mean, I think a lot of people felt like you guys were the best team in the league. Obviously, the next round, they walked through
New Jersey
with a sweep.
Yeah, 4-0.
They swept the shit out of them. But, I mean, you guys were better team.
We were a better team than them. Guaranteed. I mean, I know that for a fact. You know? you could see the look on their faces that
you were
it
guys,
was over.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I mean, it's just good to see. Like, basketball players know when you see that look of defeat, they had the look of defeat, and you could tell.
Did you ever talk to any former Lakers about that?
Hold on, what? Huh? What? That didn't make sense. Y'all was not the better team. Y'all lost.
No, we were. No.
The better team went on and won. Championship. No, stop it. Don't do that. Don't do that.
No, ain't no way.
Y'all was the better team.
We shit the bed in game 7, but it shouldn't even went to game 7. That shit might have been over. It should have been over in 5.
I'm going to let y'all have that.
So you guys were like, if I recall, like I said,
We shot under 50% from the free throw line.
But you guys were like 2 for 15 or 2 for 12 from three. Shot under 50%.
Under 50% from the free throw.
But you guys also went to the and you also went to overtime though, right?
Yeah, we're
as bad as you guys, as bad as you guys played and shot. Well, Jelani was on that team, by the way.
Stop it. Jelani, don't do that, J-Mac.
Jelani, was they the better team?
Say the tell truth, Jelani.
Bear was doing this time. Bear was having his play here. King's ransom. Bear was definitely having his play. But I mean, the
better team went through. I don't know about no referee. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Who tipped it out?
Vlade
tips it. So your teammate tips it out.
To the wrong nigga.
Rob is trailing the play, right? We actually talked to Rob. We had Robert Ori on the pod last season, and he told us about it. But walk us through that. So Cole misses a shot. Do you exhale? Like, okay, we got this. Tip it out. We're going to run the clock out. Walk us through that play.
See, I'm back in that day when we were playing, we weren't allowed to rebound. You know, so a lot of the guards don't rebound back then because that's how the bigs get their money. So get out of here, little fella. So that's all you tell. So that's why you always see guards hanging around outside. But I'm just thinking, you know, the ball boy told us they were getting our champagne ready in the back. And he had to clean it all up. And I just remember sitting there watching the tip. And I just watch it, and I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, just
to
I
anybody
mean,
but him.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's like a bobble, a tip of something different, because there wasn't that much time left. Yeah, so, I mean, just – It was heartbreaking for me because, you know, that would have been, you know, a championship for the city of Sacramento and for myself.
They tip that shit out to the person who hit 4 5-3s in the same spot for 4 other championships 4 years straight.
Yeah,
that's funny, though. That is
so
funny.
Anyway.
That shit with the Robert Horry out of all people, dog.
Damn. Hey, we're friends like this. Who needs enemies?
That's funny. I'm just saying, it could have went to anybody. Yeah. It could have went to anybody, dog.
But it went straight to him. Robert he didn't have to move. Oh, it man, right dog. To the boom.
Locked
right
and loaded. Shot, yeah. Knocked it down.
Should have went to Fisher. Now Fisher would have hit that
Fish
shit, too.
Fisher was hitting big shots, too. For sure.
No, they caught that on Doug. They let that one go. They didn't see that one.
yeah.
They broke my nose. He didn't see it.
Yeah.
They missed. They happened to miss that one.
Yeah, yeah. And we were down. We were down one with like 14 seconds left. The offensive foul. We get the ball back. You know what I mean? Who knows what happens? But
but you fouled him with a bloody nose.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't. I thought he broke it too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a good.
Come on, man.
It was a good old school move he hit me with. But yeah. I mean, it's basketball. You know what I mean? So
who hit you?
Kobe. He hit me with a like he was like the goal and it just. I remember. Yeah.
Foul on Mike's face.
Right. That's how the rest of you call it.
I wouldn't dare call that on Kobe in the fourth quarter.
So you end up averaging, all said and done, 20 points in the playoffs. You shoot 40% from the three-point line. You're blessed with a seven-year, $80 million deal. How does life change after that?
We're able to live now. You know, I mean, because the rookie contracts back then were
not much,
very minimal. You know,
hey, probably, Mike, remember when I got my first check?
We're going to go to that. Oh, yeah, okay. We're not going to leave that. So talk about how your life changed. If we're going to backtrack when Jack got his first check.
You want to do that first?
No. Talk about how life changed for you.
I mean, I hugged my mom and said, we made it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just a great feeling, you know, coming from nothing and being able to take care of your whole family. No, it's great.
That's all we talked about, though. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's all we talked about.
So let's backtrack a little bit. What year is this? For the, what year? I'll set it up, but what year is it?
Probably 97.
97.
What?
When you got
your little check. We're about to tell the story.
Oh, yeah. No, this was definitely in school.
I remember
it. Yeah, so Mike's in Arizona still. Stack gets a $25,000 check that they try to go to the bank 7 straight days in cash.
No, we tried to go 7 straight days to get it.
They wouldn't put it in my hand.
He kept telling like the agents, my agent said I could get it tomorrow. Back tomorrow.
And it's not around the house.
Yeah.
Wait for it. Yes.
So they was about to rob this bank on the final day. Mike and they about to pull a set it off move. But on the final 7th day, they finally give you the $25,000. I'm going to let y'all take it from here.
Yeah, we make it happen. And it's me, Mike, his sister, my brother. We in the car.
You come in the check. You come in, you cut the check, you go in the bank. So I'm just sitting in my car just waiting for him. And he just come in and he just start counting. I'm just looking at him like.
So this is the first real money either of y'all really seen in your whole life, right?
Yeah, so I'm looking at him, he counted. Let's go to the mall. Spend it all.
$25,000
with every dime in the mall. We probably had about $100 or $200 left. We bought every Jabot, Polo, Air Max. I want one for all them too. We tore them all down, dog, and we got cursed out soon as we got home.
Shit. That was my money.
No, but you got cursed out and he was with me.
He said, that's the last check Steve seen.
My mom had never put a check in my hand after that.
That's a good thing.
She didn't put a check in my hand after that.
Oh, too, man. That was fun. That was fun, man. That was fun.
Yeah, because it was my money.
Yeah, she'd be like,
because it was my money. That's why it was fun.
Oh, man. Next season, the team is just as good. Chris Webber tears his ACL in the second round versus Dallas. How was that?
I remember that too, because I mean, it was a close game, and you know I'm gonna spin off him, throw me the lob. I'm like, I looked at it's like game scoring time, so I'm like, it's like a close game. I'm like, well, I'll just throw it up, just catch it. You know, just dunk. He's like, no, just throw it. If I don't dunk it, I'm gonna catch it. I'm like, damn. And
so y'all had a conversation before the play.
Yes, and he goes. He goes, I'm going to spin off. I'm here, and I'm going to spin off, throw it. If I don't dunk it, I'll catch it. So I'm like, right now you want to do that? And he was like, yeah, I'll catch it. So I throw, and he goes down. I'm like, shit.
And tears ACL, right?
Yeah, I knew it was bad. But like I said, Webb was our anchor for us. And, you know, and he's
so underrated.
Yeah, I played with a lot of superstars. And him, he took his accountability.
That's a leader.
Yes, like my fault. That was my fault. You know, you don't see a lot of superstars do that now. Mm-hmm. And for him doing that, I kind of respected that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it rubbed off on the team. And everybody was held accountable for what they did. If they messed up, it's okay to mess up. Just, you know, take it. Just move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how hard it was to go deep in the playoffs. But there was any doubt in your mind or from the team, from the chances y'all win with everybody, with the injuries and stuff y'all was dealing with?
I knew it was going to be tough. You know, I think we had another chance to We went to game seven with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And we end up losing, I think.
Is that when Anthony Peeler elbowed Kevin Garnett in the face? And they
No, I don't think he was here yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he was here yet. We still, I think that might have been the next year, I think.
Was
after
it?
We went to the Western Conference Finals. We ended up losing in seven in Minnesota. I think Webb had a shot. We're down two, maybe a shot three. And we ended up losing by, I think, two. But I think after that, then they started breaking the team up and decided, you know, I think our window closed, I guess. I don't know. I think we had a little bit left, but I think the next year they traded you and Webb.
So I come to your team in 2004 and that's where they kind of felt like Chris was coming off an injury. They didn't feel the team was as strong. Chris has a no trade clause on. I still to this day don't know why the motherfucker accepted the trade, but I mean, we had a conversation about it, but so we're in. We just packed for like a 5-game road trip, I think. It was a long trip. And we started in Dallas. And we hear on ESPN, we get traded. And then we're heartbroken because I was a fan of this team. Like, being from here, I'm finally on this team, being a huge fan of the this team feels like they have enough to make another run. We're early in, was it January, February?
We end up playing you guys, I think, on that same trip.
Like, the same trip. Like, we were supposed to go to the team we got traded to. So we get traded. And we're in Dallas and we're like, fuck it, let's go out and have a good night. Now, no, we're not going to talk about what happened that night because a lot of shit happened. I think I passed out in the strip club, was throwing up all day the next day on the private plane flying to Philly. But
I love
it was sad, though, because, again, it was
I mean, you make good friends. Like, you get family and it can be taken away from you that quick.
Webb was my big brother, but, like, Mike was my dog. Like, me and Mike.
Like I said, you become family and friends. Like I said, I didn't know Matt before he came here. You know what I mean? And just be able to be so close with Matt and meet Matt's family, Matt be close with our family too. It changes lives.
Yeah, and it was big. So we went off to Philly, which was the worst 2 years of my fucking life. Horrible. That was the first time, and I'm a West Coast for life, so I'm out there in Chucks and white t-shirts, and it's cold as a bitch. Like, I don't own a jacket. I don't own no real shoes. Like, I don't know what the fuck this is. So I'm just out there smoking weed for 2 years, playing video games, taking Webb's money, and man, I'm not getting no playing time. I'm not sure if I'm going to be in the NBA no more or not, but I'm miserable. But I'm out there doing my thing off the court, though. You better believe that, Jack. On the court, I wasn't shit, but off the court, I was nice. So the trade happens February 2005. Me, Webb, and Michael Bradley are traded for Kenny Thomas.
John Sammons,
and a couple other people.
He was what?
Doing my thing off the court.
Yeah, you wasn't what?
Doing shit on the court.
But you was what?
Doing my thing off the court. You got to win somewhere. What's your mindset? Again, you come to Sacramento. This is you know, one of your top destinations. You come here. You guys make runs very close to cracking the egg and getting all the way. So Webb gets traded. And what's kind of your mindset after that?
Kind of like it's my team. Like, it's kind of like my team to take over because it was Webb's team.
Right.
And I think they needed a leader, and I felt I was right for that position. Just as far as, I mean, just of the work and the time I put into basketball, I think it was my time.
Mm-hmm. So you end up getting traded. You play a couple more seasons in SAC. You get traded to Atlanta, a young team. You still go out there and put up very solid numbers. You guys pushed the Celtics that year to 7 games. They end up winning the championship that year. But what was that experience like? You go from Vancouver, small city, not very good, come to Sacramento, small city, but live, a really good team. So now you're off to Atlanta with a young team, an atmosphere that Jack absolutely loves in Atlanta. But what was that experience like for you?
It was good. Like, it was different. It was a different role for me.
By the way, Jack has his jersey retired in three strip clubs in Atlanta. Still on the wall. Captain Trick, but go ahead.
I mean, because I was supposed to get traded to Cleveland. Like, Atlanta, I was supposed to get traded to Cleveland the year before. And then I was supposed to get traded to Cleveland the next year, too. But, you know, I woke up from a nap, and my son comes in like, "Dad, you just got traded." I'm like, "No, I didn't." He's like, "I said, to where?" He said, "The Hawks." I said, "Bullshit, the Hawks. Never talked to the Hawks." And so my agent's like, "Hold on, let me call you back." It was like right before All-Star break. And he's like, "So I could have, David, I got traded." He's like, "No, you didn't get traded. You got to wait till after." I said, "David, it's on fucking ESPN." He was like, "Hold on, let me call you back." So he called me back. He's like, "Oh, yeah, they did trade you." He said, "That's like one of the two," because David was a very powerful man. And David could block
the trade?
Trades if he wanted to, if they if he knew. So two trades he never heard about is when I got traded from here to Atlanta and from Atlanta to Washington. I played two games for the Wizards. And he didn't know about them because they he probably would have blocked them. But going to Atlanta was a different role for me. You know, they didn't need me to do all the scoring that I was doing here. And like I said, I took the role that Vlade had here, I kind of took it to the younger guys. You know, Al Horford was a rookie. Josh Smith was a couple years out. Marvin Williams, Josh Childress, Joe Johnson. So I mean, we had a pretty good young team. And like I said, my role was going to change. They didn't need me to score. And, you know, I said a lot of picks. I did a lot of passes. And I think, I mean, like in practice, we are having fun. Like I made trips. Like when we get to where we're going, the whole team's going to go eat some dinner, go to the mall, walk around the mall. And everybody was buying in. So everybody was on the trips. And it kind of got a camaraderie together. And everybody started feeling comfortable. And we started feeling good and started winning games. I think the next year there, I think we won 50. One of the years we won 52 games. And being from Atlanta, not making tournament the playoffs for 10 years, kind of like I feel like I did my job what I needed to do to get there. And it wasn't always just scoring.
Right.
You know?
What do you remember about that? Your first year out there when you guys played that Boston team with KG, Paul, Ray Allen, and Rondo?
Like I said, it was the first time. I think Joe Johnson and me are the only two people on the team that had played in a playoff game. And, I mean, the atmosphere in Atlanta was crazy. We were getting our ass kicked in Boston every time we went, but we were holding our own in Atlanta. And, I mean, it was just tough. They were a tough team.
Yeah.
And, like I said, we held our own. It took the championship, took the champions in seven games.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Signing with the Heat, March 2nd, 2011, after you cleared waivers. How was it playing with the Heat and that experience? We talked about it
so
last night.
It up. So is that,
we talked about it last night.
So that's the big three. So that's Bosh, Wade, LeBron.
I think it's the first year.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it was just different. You know what I mean? It wasn't something I was used to doing. It just wasn't a good experience for me.
Mm.
Great organization, great coach, great Riley, Pat Riley, great. Everything's great. It just wasn't for me. Mm. You know what I mean? And just, I didn't want to, I thought I still had a little bit more left. That's why I left Washington. They wanted me to kind of prep John Wall. And I thought I still had some juice left.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I ended up leaving Washington and tried to go get a championship play over there. And it just wasn't for me, like, to go stand in the corner and wait.
Yeah, that wasn't
so
it.
Much pressure on shots. It wasn't for me. And, you know, after that year, I was done. I felt like I was done. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I did what I'm done. And Mike Woodson goes to New York and ends up saying, come play one more year. I'm like, Woody, I'm done. I have no more fight left. I don't want to, like, if I'm going to do something, I want to be all in. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't all in.
You know what's crazy is after you play a long time, like, you feel it. Like, I had an opportunity. I still had two more years on my deal when I retired. But when that, like you said, when that fight leaves you,
mm-hmm.
and you realize, like, damn, I'm missing a lot of time with my family, my mm-hmm. kids growing up, stuff that I'll never get back. We could be playing, you know, obviously the NBA is where everyone wants to make. But when that fight leaves you, it's a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Who would ever think, like, how could you not want to? But, like, that NBA is a grind, and you travel a lot. And although the money's good and we're not complaining, it becomes a wear on you. You know what I mean? And once you lose that love, yeah.
But to get prepared for it is what I didn't want to do anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked my ass off. Steve knows when you come to work, I would shoot 1,000 shots a day. And so, I mean, I just didn't have it in me anymore. And then when I went to New York, Woody was like, come play. So I ended up going to play, but it was like, I'm here if you need me.
But most of the time, I'm chilling.
I'm fine. Over. Don't feel like you feel obligated to play me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool. I worked out already. I shot, did all the stuff before the game. I'm cool over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Woody took care of me. Woody would come down to the bench. I'm able to blow out. Do you want to go in? There'd be sometimes like, nah, I'm good. And sometimes I I'm getting in and play a little mm-hmm. bit. You know, but I mean, it was over for me.
What was the experience like with Bron, D-Wade? How good was D-Wade at that time?
I think it was still D-Wade's. I mean, it was D-Wade's team with LeBron's first year, but D-Wade's like a freak. You know, he's probably 6'3", jump out the gym, long arms, and he's just an athletic monster,
mm-hmm.
you know? And just playing with those guys, like I said, it was different playing with three superstars. You know, right. You usually only get like one, mm-hmm. maybe one and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing with three, like I said, it was a different role for me that right. I wasn't used to, that I'd never done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't for me.
What about Bron? How was it playing with Bron?
He was like a superhuman, you know what I mean? He probably weighed about, he was probably the heaviest guy on the team, running that fast and jumping that high.
Crazy.
I needed some of that stuff.
Whatever it was.
Yes.
Whatever it was, you needed some?
Yeah, I needed that. But, I mean, it's just like he was the heaviest on the team, and to be able to jump that high.
Run that fast,
it's unseen.
So as you say, you end up going to New York. This is a loaded New York team with Melo, Amari Stoudemire, J.R. Smith, our brother Baron Davis, Tyson Chandler, Shump. Any funny stories just about that team on the bus, on the plane, in the locker room?
Just saying those names in one sentence
makes me want to laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good. You know, Baron, I love Baron since day. That's where we kind of
bonded.
I know Baron, yeah. So Baron, now I was just in China with Baron, but Baron, him and Jared Jeffries, they both had bad knees. And, you know, I mean, Baron said they made a bet who's going to get hurt first.
Oh, there was a real bet between yeah. Jared Jeffries and Baron?
They made a bet, right? So,
Baron won.
Yeah, Baron's out on the floor. His leg is like this way. So we go out there to help him up. And he looked back and he said, I won to Jerry. And, I mean, in the middle of tearing his ACL.
But Barron blew his whole knee up. I don't know if you guys remember, but Barron's whole knee, he was driving down the lane, going for a layup. His whole entire knee blew up. And the first thing he says to Jared Jeffries is,
I won.
I won the bet.
Not surprising.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was good. I mean, it was a good experience for me there, too. You know what I mean? Being in New York, playing in the Garden and, you know, playing for the same team that my dad played for, too. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Just being in that environment, being in New York, was good situation.
What's your relationship? Did you have a relationship with Kobe? Obviously, years of battling, same year in high school. Our dads played together.
But, I mean, it was like, you know, respectful every time we seen each other. And like I said, he always gave me love. And, I mean, it's just, you know, I try not to bother people outside here unless I'm really, really close.
Quiet dude. Any good stories on or off the court with him, shit talking or you're chilling or?
Nah, not that I could say out here, no.
Talk about playing in the Big Three. Obviously, me and you both helped Ice Cube with this Big Three league. We both started off as captains. I won two of the championship at the last three. But talk about that experience and just being able to be someone that's the face of a Black-owned league, something that Cube started to do, and a way to give players like us a chance to continue to play professionally on a high level.
It was amazing. You know, like I said, I got a call from Cube, and I mean, whatever it was, Cube could have said that we're going to go cut some grass for a little bit.
I'm down.
I'm going to go with you. I looked up to Cube. I listened to his music growing up, and I mean, it was just the best situation. Like, you remember that first year? I mean, we're selling out arenas.
Yeah.
You know, there's about 17,000, 18,000 people coming to watch 3-on-3 basketball. And just, you know, just for Cube to even think of us like that, I think is like that crazy, man. It's just crazy to be a part of that.
Shout out to Ice Cube and the Big Three.
Yeah, people don't understand how the lives he's saving. A lot of guys need that money too.
Yeah.
When did you get the coaching bug?
I've been coaching him since he was 9, but I'd do it when I wasn't playing. So Raymond, my cousin Raymond would coach while I'd be gone.
He burned out too.
While I was gone. So he'd coach it. When I come back, I'd coach them. So we had them, I mean, they were learning 9 years old, 10-year-old, learning NBA stuff. And, you know, I mean, I was teaching the kids. And, you know, you get soft spot for kids, wanting to help kids. You know, a lot of my team was kids that didn't really have much. You know, I took care of everything. Jordan Brand gave me something in my contract is for them too as well. You know, so I got uniforms, shoes. So we're all in Jordan, you know, at that age, all in Jordan, you know, anybody want to play for you.
Right.
And I've been coaching ever since then. And I ended up coaching in my high school. I wasn't going to really coach. I was going to coach in the AAU and just let it go. But then I saw his high school coaching one time. I went to one of the practices, and I said,
You wasn't shit.
I got to help the team because I don't want my son here. I want my son to learn and get better and be able to, you know, fulfill a dream he might have. And that's when I just started coaching. And, I take it serious. We'd have practice, shoot arounds, watch film. We'll do stuff we did in the NBA. We're going to cover this way. And if that doesn't work, we're going to cover it this way. Mm-hmm. We did defensive rotation. So I was really putting the time in and really care about these kids and what they do, not just on the court, but making a better man off the court.
That's what I tell my kids.
We talked about the Jordan collection. We know you got probably top two, if not number one Jordan collection. I know that. I've seen it. You got any memorable stories or stories you could tell about MJ or with MJ?
He brought all of us to a dinner one time. I mean, it wasn't as many as there is now. And, I mean, he just went down the line and picked everybody, took a patch out of everybody's ass. And he came to me and I just put my head down. He just said, Mike, you don't say much, so I'm going to let you go. And he just went on to the next one. But he cut down. He went by Carmelo, Ray Allen, and he went by Derek Anderson. He went down the line.
And, like, knocked, like, what, their weaknesses?
No, he just was talking shit.
Oh.
He told CP, said something about CP's defense. I play defense. I got 2 points some steals. Said, that don't mean you're a good defender. That means you're good at anticipating. He would go all the way down the line.
And just shit talk.
Yeah, he left me out. So that's probably one of the good
best stories you can
hear. Yeah, so. You know, when Mike get nervous, he turn real weird, like how some white people's cheeks get flushed. Mike's cheek get that flushed.
What's your observation on the Kings now? Lighting the motherfucking beam.
So you're back in the family now. One more time, for Mike is a part of the Kings family again. Y'all get to see Mike out here all the time.
I mean, I love to see him always. You obviously want to see him do good. You know, I think this is where my heart still is. You know, I spend a lot of my time here. Like I said, I was here for almost 7 years. Got a lot of friends, and my heart's here. And for seeing them finally start doing good and everybody getting back into it, I love to see it. And like as Matt said, being a part of the NBC sports stuff, you know, I think it's going to be great for me just to be a part of the team again.
Dope. All right, man. Well, I hope you guys
get his jersey in there, though.
Nah, bro. There's
in that store.
There's a gang of Mike. Well, there's a real number 10 in town now. The best number 10. The best number 10 is the current number 10.
Huh?
Now you
I'll
still
wait
see
for him to put it up.
Yeah, oh, come on now. Yeah, we gotta talk to some people about that.
Yeah.
That should definitely need to be in the Raptors. But I will hope you guys have enjoyed this so far. Right now, we're coming down to the tail end. This is called Quick Hitters. So first thing to come to mind, let us know. If you can go back and relive one night of your career on the court, not off the court. We're not talking about off the court shit. One game in your career, break it down. What would that be?
And go back and change it?
No. Just relive it one more time. Like tomorrow, you're going to go play that game.
I wouldn't say a game. I would say getting drafted.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's like a dream come true. Like, I was never big-headed to where, like, I'm walking around, I'm going to be this pick coming up. When it finally happened, it was the greatest feeling in the world, because you look at it as a kid wanting to be there, and finally coming from nothing, you finally get to do it. I mean, it's the biggest thing that ever happened in my life.
That's dope.
You plus four going to blacktop, going to play on the blacktop. Who you bringing?
I'm bringing y'all. I got to bring y'all to
it. I ain't got ass.
Just in case we got to fight.
I ain't got ass. I already know we was going to be first pick. I knew it already.
I got them two that I played with, or just in
anybody. Your four, whoever.
So I got to go with MJ. Mm-hmm. I'm going to MJ and Shaq. I got to take Shaq.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, that's going to be all right. Easy work.
And Dane's going to be the coach.
And the barber.
Your top.
You say security?
No, I like a coach that can fight. So we're going to let you be coach. Top five brand Jordan models of all time.
I'm not a model, so, you know, man, don't count me in that.
11. One.
Five.
Four.
Threes.
Threes.
Yes, Lord.
How many is that? Four?
Mm-hmm.
So like 1, 3, 4, 11. I like the nines.
The nines.
You're the only person I've ever heard say like the nines.
If y'all are like me, you don't know what the fuck he just said. Just go look those numbers up.
Yeah, no doubt. Top five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Five people you'd want at your dinner table, dead or alive.
Pac.
Mm.
Muhammad Ali. Mike Tyson.
Mm.
Jackie Robinson.
Mm.
Biggie.
Mm. That's a hell of a table.
Strong. He burnt. Mike burnt. Who do you want to see on All the Smoke? You burn out. Who you want to see on All the Smoke? But before you answer that question, you have to help us get your answer on the show. Who I'm fucking y'all up with this question?
MJ.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you can get him on.
Hold on.
We need your help, Mike.
We have to simultaneously text this brother. All right? I think we can work it from both angles, because he actually said he would do it when I talked to him. But I think me and you being both on Jordan, I think we can make
like
it happen.
I'd like to see him on
If
that.
Y'all want to throw me like his number, I'll text that motherfucker too. MJ, what up, baby?
Yeah, right.
Well, man, we hope you guys appreciated this night tonight, or this day, excuse me. Give Mike Bibby a round of applause.
Thank you for coming, everybody. Yeah. Thank you.
Devin George in the house.
Shout out Devin George.
Shout out Devin George in the house.
Dev was on them Laker teams. Thank you again, Urban Roots, Rob, the whole family. We appreciate you guys. Give Urban Roots a round of applause.
Yeah. stack of kidneys on your ass.
And right now we're gonna do something a little different because obviously we love Sack, so we're gonna take a handful of questions right now. So you guys have any questions for myself, Stack, or Mike, raise your hand and we will bring you the microphone. Or are you gonna come to the middle and get the microphone? Because this guy over here with the curly hair is looking confused. So we got some questions. Who wants a question? Right here, come on, step to the mic. Oh, you got here? Next, get in line, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, who do you think is the best point guard in the league currently? And who do you think, name a player that resembles your game?
Ooh,
I think Steph is the best point guard in the league. Anybody that resembles me, the game is played a different way now. So I wasn't really an ISO guy like that. You know, a lot of it stuff is ISO now. So I don't really think anybody right now.
Could you imagine Mike getting 10 threes a game just off the rip? Could you imagine? I mean, you shot 40%. So you shot maybe 12, 15 shots a game. Can you imagine playing in this era getting, you know, I'm going to get 8 to 10 threes every night?
The most I think I ever averaged threes was like 6 attempts a game.
Right.
You know, to shoot 15 threes, 20 threes a game.
Crazy.
That'd be fun. that'd be a lot of fun.
Next question.
Can you please share your Fat Joe sneaker story?
Oh, okay. Good one.
Okay. He put a lot on it, but you know, he came to the house, you know, he had like 10 people with him. No, he's in my closet. And I look back.
First of all, this closet's like a fucking bedroom, but go ahead.
Warehouse. It's the warehouse.
I walk in and I look back. I show him the shoes that I have and stuff. And I look back and I see like 5 of his guys with shoes that, like, I only have one pair of. Like, if I got more, I'll give shoes out if I have an extra pair. But I only have, like, one pair. And I was like, Joe, you can't take all 5 of them. You can have one. And he ends up, there was a shoe. I never made an All-Star game, but they made a shoe for me just in case I made one. And I think there's only one pair made. And I'm hoping, like, please don't pick this one. Please don't pick this one. And he was looking around like, said, I'm going to take these. I said, fuck. And so he ended up taking them.
What pair were they?
The 9 lows were like, it was like silver.
Had your name on
them? Yeah, 10 on the back, but it was white with silver. And he took them, he put them in the store. But I mean, he was going to do something for me. My sister, my daughter wanted to be a singer. And I said, you know, I have no problem you taking the shoe, just do a song with my daughter. And he was like, no problem.
Did your daughter do the song?
No.
She was scared.
But that's a lifelong offer. So you got someone else to be able to plug Joe with a song.
See, I didn't rough him up. I didn't choke him. I didn't do that like he says I did. But I was kind of heartbroken that that's the shoe he took.
Yeah.
Anybody else? We got a couple more questions. Come on, step to the mic. Don't be scared.
Matt, this question is for you. You won a
check. Brad, man, I did not expect you to sound like that, my nigga. Hey, I ain't tripping. I'm not even tripping, bro. Hey, I ain't tripping. You know what I'm saying? I did not expect you to sound like that, my nigga. Hey. Go ahead on, though. Hey. Go ahead on, though. Do you? But you do, young. I wasn't ready for that.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Matt, question for you. So you won a championship with the Dubs in 2017. Do you have any good stories?
That Golden State team. I came into the team late, got hurt right before the playoffs. But I think one thing I remember about that team is, you know, arguably that was one of the greatest teams in NBA history. But what I remember was to have Steph, Clay, KD, Dre have a rock star coach in Steve Kerr. There was no egos. Everybody enjoyed coming to practice. We had fun on and off the court. Off days, the whole team was in getting extra work. So I just think the what I remember most is just the camaraderie. And then my twins at the time were like 7 or 8. So when we won a championship, I got them championship rings. So they were able to get rings. But when we won the championship, like the twins were on stage, like trying to take the MVP trophy from KD, take the championship trophy. Like there's literally film of them. Like my homie's like, yo, I see your kids on ESPN trying to steal this trophies from Steph and KD. So that experience was a great experience for me. And again, I think what I remember the most is just how much that team fucked with each other.
Then they trying to get me to say something, but I
no, go ahead and say it.
No, it's them two right there. It's them two.
Let them gas you. Go ahead.
Nah, I ain't doing it. I'm just saying.
Any other questions? We got a couple more. Anybody? All right, here, go ahead. I think you got a Mike Bibby ghost. Is that a Big 3 jersey?
Yeah.
Come ask a motherfucking question, goddamn it. Yeah. No, you go next. Gino, what's your question, Gino?
That is definitely one of the worst teams in Big 3 history, too. Take that off.
But I try to get you to be a captain with me.
Yeah.
I would. Oh, I'm already on. I already got somebody else.
I would want me to.
Gino.
Go ahead, G.
Mr. Bibby, I think we'd all like to hear your top five of all time.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. I'll ask you that later on, bro.
What kind of dye is in this beard? Is that just for men? Is that? I heard Head and Shoulders got a new dye. Don't play. What's your top five all the time, Mike?
Jordan, Kobe, Shaq, LeBron, Kareem. Top five. I got to put in top five.
Top five of all time.
Nice.
Good call.
Nice.
All right. Since you got a ghost jersey on.
And the Kings went through some crazy times, obviously, with possibly the thoughts of losing the team here years ago. Sacramento fought hard and went through crazy times, a lot of controversy. What was your thoughts in the fact that the Kings ever possibly losing their team to the enjoyment of actually keeping the team and being here forever?
That would have been a bad move. You know what I mean? Like, this is probably one of the best basketball. This Sacramento's the best fans I ever played in front of, no matter what team I was on.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's different. Like, you go to L.A., play in L.A., you can hear a pin drop. That's why I like playing there so much. You know, a lot of people didn't really come to watch the game.
It's
they
life.
Came to just be. I mean, it's like a scene, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. I mean, just playing for you guys is just the best fans that I mean, played for 14 years, been to every stadium. You guys are the best fans I've seen.
Dope. Sure. Any more questions? We got two more. Anybody, don't be shy. A lot of people in here. How about little man right here on Jack's team? You got a question?
Come from the back.
You want to ask? Don't be shy. Anybody?
Trey said he cool. That's my partner. He cool. You got a bunch of
nice little giddy up.
What is your favorite pair of Jordans to play in? And what is your favorite thing to do in Sacramento outside of hoop?
Favorite shoe to play in was probably either my 9s or 13s. 9s were kind of narrow from my foot a little bit, but the 13s, I'd probably say 13s. And outside, I mean, I have a lot of friends here and family. So, you know, I'll go to people's house and barbecue and stuff like that. So,
suntan. You don't do much of that.
He'll come to your barbecue, but he bringing his own chicken fingers and fries.
He's going to bring chicken fingers and fries.
Chicken fingers and fries every day.
Don't be offended. He ain't going to eat your food because he does shit a certain way.
Chicken fingers and fries every day.
But anybody, last question for Mike or for Stack. Anybody who hasn't asked a question yet, going once. Come on, bro. Step up.
Gene, you're a motherfucker, Gene.
You and Mike work out.
I was about to say, you're Mike bench press spotting partner.
Yeah.
Nigga, spot Mike on the bench press.
Yeah, so other guests, you usually talk about artists and music. I'm really big into music. What type of music do you like to listen to? And in that genre, what's your top five artists you like listening to?
Oh,
I love Pac. Pac's my favorite of all time. I'm on Moneybagg Yo right now. I'm listening to all this stuff right now. I'm just not old school. Like, I like Ice Cube. I like Biggie. I like Pac.
So you old school like us?
Yeah.
Old school music.
But right now, Moneybagg Yo is my favorite guy out right now.
Well, again, man, give you guys yourself a round of applause. Give Mike a round of applause. Thank you guys for coming out. Before we leave, we're going to take a team photo. So we're going to stay in here. You guys are going to stand behind us. So everyone stand up real quick to make sure you get your ass in the photo. And we're going to do this. And thank you all for coming.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.